Everything was not okay. The mechanism of self-aggression and self-blame. Something profound and unsettling happened when you were growing up in an environment where empathy was scarce and your truth was systematically silenced. As a child, you might have instinctively felt that something was amiss within your family dynamics. However, facing the truth that those who were supposed to nurture and protect you were actually sources of distress was too daunting a reality for your young mind to accept. In response to this harsh environment, you might have found yourself adopting the narrative that your caregivers were good parents, as long as they provided the basics, like food and shelter. This rationalization served as a coping mechanism, shielding you from the full impact of emotional neglect. You also learned quickly that expressing any negative emotion, from anger to disappointment, or even a desire for closeness, was viewed as burdensome. This taught you early on that your emotional needs were neither valid nor important, contradicting your intrinsic human need for affection and validation. Your tendency to self-blame can be further understood through psychoanalytic theories, such as those proposed by W.R.D. Fairbairn. Fairbairn suggested that in trying to maintain an attachment to caregivers, children might internalize bad aspects of their caregivers as part of themselves, leading to what he called internalizing the aggressor. This process helps maintain an illusion of a good external world and bad internal world, thus preserving the vital attachment to caregivers by seeing the self as the problem rather than the caregiver. For a child wholly dependent on their caregivers, facing the reality of having nowhere else to turn can be daunting. The idea of being powerless in an unpredictable, sometimes hostile environment is terrifying. To cope, many children turn to self-blame or internalize their anger. By believing that you were at fault, perhaps seeing yourself as not good enough or failing to meet the ideal child standards, you created an illusion of control. This self-directed anger offered a semblance of hope. The unconscious rationale was, if you were the problem, then perhaps you could change something to prevent further neglect or abuse. Maybe if I was more obedient, more quiet, a better kid, I would be loved. This created an illusion of control and maintained your belief in having supportive parents. On misdirected anger. This redirection often starts as a protective strategy in childhood to shield you from the painful truth about your caregivers. However, it carries with it significant emotional costs. Turning anger inwards often leads to self-directed aggression. This might manifest in how harshly you speak to yourself, perhaps being self-destructive without realizing, or even subconsciously sabotaging your own efforts. The inner critic, mirroring the negative aspects of early caregivers, can be relentless and punishing. Alongside this self-aggression, you may carry heavy toxic shame. This isn't just about feeling guilty over actions, it's a more pervasive sense of being fundamentally flawed, like there is always something wrong with you, wherever you go, and whatever it is that you do. You might find yourself constantly battling a barrage of self-judgment, feeling that you can never truly meet your own standards. As you grow into adulthood, you might continue to turn anger inward, even when it no longer serves you. You may take on too much responsibility and accept all the blame, perpetuating a cycle of low self-esteem and self-criticism. Over time, this coping mechanism can evolve. You might recognize in yourself an addiction to doing, a relentless push to stay busy. This can be a way to avoid facing painful emotions or self-critical thoughts. It might also be a means to seek external validation, where being productive is equated with being worthy. Perhaps you find yourself often stepping into the role of a rescuer, feeling compelled to save others, or get into relationships where you overfunction and take care of everything. While helping others is valuable, if it stems from a need to affirm your own worth, it can lead to unbalanced relationships where your needs are consistently placed last. If you have a history of turning anger inward and driving all blame to yourself, you might find yourself repeatedly in abusive relationships. These relationships may unfortunately echo and reinforce your negative self-beliefs that you do not deserve to have a voice or a place in the world. Breaking free is about reclaiming your story. The journey to break free from these ingrained patterns of self-blame is more than recognizing unhealthy behaviors. It involves a fundamental reclamation of your sense of right and wrong and telling your true story. This process begins with acknowledging the trauma you experienced, rather than minimizing or denying its effects. It's about affirming that your emotional experiences and responses are valid and that you did not deserve the treatment you received. For many, the patterns of self-blame are rooted in years of gaslighting, being made to question your own reality and memories. This insidious form of manipulation can lead you to internalize blame unjustly, skewing your perception of events and your role in them. The process of healing involves untangling these threads of distorted truth and reaffirming the validity of your own perceptions and feelings. This process can be painful, but it is through this vulnerability that clarity and transformation can happen. Moving from self-blame to self-understanding and compassion allows for the reconstruction of your self-concept. Ultimately, healing from self-blame and self-directed anger involves reclaiming your life narrative from the distortions of trauma, recognizing the impact of past experiences on your current beliefs and behaviors, and learning to trust yourself again. This journey is not merely about recovery, it is fundamentally about liberation and a compassionate re-engagement with the world.